Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. After a week-long strike that cost the nation's number three carmaker well over $100 million and nearly 2 days of nonstop talking, United Auto Workers President Owen Bieber had some good news at about 3:15 this morning Eastern Time.
We have achieved a tentative three-year agreement with the Chrysler Corporation covering some 70,000 hourly and salaried Chrysler members in the U.S.
This is Rob Marr, station WWJ in Detroit, reporting from Highland Park, Michigan. Agreement between Chrysler and the United Auto Workers Union in the United States was reached after a marathon 42-hour-plus bargaining session. It comes as 70,000 rank-and-file members are in their eighth day of a national strike. UAW President Owen Bieber says he's proud of the whole package, but he's exceptionally happy that each active Chrysler employee will receive nearly $2,200 as a bonus.
Our goal in these negotiations was to match the full auto pattern set last year at General Motors and Ford. We have done that.
The workers get an automatic 3% pay hike in 1987, something not even Ford and General Motors employees get. Chrysler Vice President Thomas Miner says he's pleased with the settlement, but it is expensive.
How much did it cost? Well, to tell you the truth, we haven't really run the final cost yet, but there'll be in excess of $1 billion.
That's over and above current Chrysler labor costs. The contract ratification should be done by late Sunday, and workers are expected to be back on the job Monday. Rob Marr for CBS News, Highland Park, Michigan.
The UAW's rank and file seems eager to trade their picket signs for rivet guns, as we heard on the line this morning outside Chrysler's Warren, Michigan plant.
Well, we've been kind of behind the last few years, and it's good to get caught back up again because we are doing good, and we're making a good product, so, hopefully we can stay up there on top.
I'm glad to see the strike's over,
and I hope that we got what we tried to get.
UAW's strike against Chrysler Canada ended Monday, and 10,000 workers are already back on the job there. Consumer prices last month rose 0.2% for an annual inflation rate of just over 3%. That number, as Ray Brady reports, now becomes all important for senior citizens.
37 million Americans will heave a sigh of relief. That's because today's increase in inflation is just enough to trigger an automatic increase in Social Security benefits. Those benefits are based on the rise or fall in inflation between the third quarter of the year and the same period a year earlier. So the increase means that Social Security benefits will rise, starting with the first day of 1986, by 3.1%. That is, however, the smallest rise in a decade. Today's figures, while boosting Social Security payments, also will cut income taxes just a bit, because tax brackets are now indexed to this same inflation rate. So for taxes due on 1985 income, the exemption and the standard deduction will both rise, going up 3.7%. Ray Brady, CBS News, New York.
New York City is playing host to the biggest gathering of world leaders in history, which are packing the hotels with potentates, presidents, and prime ministers, bringing normally jammed streets to gridlock, and blanketing Manhattan Island with anti-terrorist security. It's all because of the United Nations 40th anniversary session, and today President Reagan joins the crowd of statesmen. Jacqueline Adams reports.
Over the next 3 days, President Reagan will attempt meaningful discussions with some two dozen of the 80 world leaders assembled for the 40th anniversary of the United Nations in New York. White House officials say the list does not include Nicaragua's President Ortega, but might include Soviet Foreign Minister Shevardnadze. Mr. Reagan will seek the advice of the leaders of Japan, West Germany, Canada, Britain, and Italy prior to his meeting with Soviet leader Gorbachev next month, holding one-on-one sessions along with a so-called stag dinner tomorrow night. Mr. Reagan will also meet privately with the leaders of India and Pakistan. In his major speech tomorrow, the president will discuss his agenda for the Gorbachev meeting, not only reducing nuclear weapons, but also possibly ways of ending the war in Afghanistan. At the same time, the administration appears to be lowering expectations for substantial progress on arms control in Geneva. It's attempting to shift the spotlight to Soviet military expansionism in the Third World. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, The White House.
Soviet leader Gorbachev has already had a pre-summit powwow with his allies. Bert Quint reports from Sofia, Bulgaria.
The Warsaw Pact nations proposed today that the United States and the Soviet Union freeze the number of men under arms at home and abroad at whatever level they are at next January 1st. They also proposed that the Americans and the Russians put an end to the upgrading of their conventional weapons at that time. Both countries would be called on not to increase their military budgets in the next fiscal year. Mikhail Gorbachev got the expected formal backing of his allies for the disarmament proposals he put forth in Paris, and for his demand that the United States drop its Star Wars program as a precondition for any breakthrough in negotiations. Bert Quint, CBS News, Sofia, Bulgaria.
Things are looking up a bit for artificial heart patient Anthony Mandia, whose condition was upgraded this morning by doctors at the Hershey, Pennsylvania Medical Center. He is still on the critical list, but his condition is no longer regarded as unstable. Mandia has bounced back from the in-and-out stupor he was in at this time yesterday and is regarded as strong enough for a transplant operation as soon as a human heart donor is found. A man arrested early today for climbing a fence around the White House later attempted suicide in his jail cell. Washington police say Robert Edward Watson of Baltimore was arrested at about 1 a.m. by the Secret Service and 2 hours later tried to hang himself with his bootlaces. Washington's charge that a top PLO official was behind the Achille Lauro hijacking reportedly has been backed up by one of the young terrorists. Richard Roth reports.
Several Italian newspapers published this story, claiming one of the accused hijackers now in jail has told investigators Mohammed Abbas was the mastermind of the hijack. Abbas is the PLO official sought by the United States. The newspaper reports did not cite any sources for their information, however, and both Milan's Corriere della Sera, Italy's largest paper, as well as the state-run broadcasting network, are disputing the reports. In an interview with CBS News, one of the prosecutors investigating the case confirmed the accused men have talked to prison interrogators. They're now claiming, according to the prosecutor, that their plan all along was to hijack the cruise ship, not to attack the port of Ashdod in Israel. The prosecutor also says the killing of Leon Klinghoffer was a spontaneous act of anger, according to what the accused men say, and not a premeditated act. Richard Roth, CBS News, Rome.
The State Department is denying that Deputy Secretary John Whitehead meant to brand Israel's October 1st air raid on Tunisia as an act of terrorism. The diplomat told reporters in Tunis yesterday the U.S. was shocked and surprised at the attack, adding, quote, "We deplore it as we deplore all acts of terrorism wherever they occur." In response to that Israeli attack, PLO chairman Yasser Arafat has been circuit-riding Middle East capitals to press for an Arab summit. Last night, he reportedly told supporters in Kuwait, quote, "We will not drop the gun." Our time, 10 minutes past the hour.